Welcome to episode number 41. Great day, amazing humans. Yes, welcome to the Own Your Thrive podcast and Empowered in My Skin production. My name is Nkechi Wafa Robinson, and I am founder and CEO of Empowered in My Skin, an experienced technology executive at one of Canada's largest financial institutions, an author, an International Federation of Bodybuilding pro athlete, an inspirational speaker, and most recently, a viral sensation after my You Matter speech hit over 3 million views worldwide. This show is all about thriving, and I will be bringing on some amazing humans that own their thrive to help you figure out how you too can own yours. So please leave a review on whatever medium you are listening to this on, and make sure to join along on the web at empoweredinmyskin.com so you can be notified when new episodes are available. For now, I'm your girl. Let the show begin. Yes, great day, amazing humans, and welcome to the next episode of the Own Your Thrive podcast. My guest today is a proven leader with over 15 years of product management and general management experience with global businesses. Experience includes strategic planning and execution, new product introduction, and managing portfolio products at all stages of their maturity. He is a father of two, so yes, it's a he, and in his spare time enjoys cycling, tennis, jazz, travel, and good food and music composition. He is, on top of that, he's a gadget junkie, sports fan, and Raptors fanatic. But best of all, he has a great sense of humor. He is driven, and I've always admired him for how he gets things done. He is brilliant, and I'm so proud to call him my brother. So put your ears together for Emeka Wafor.
So I literally don't know how to follow that intro. Thank you, though.
I'm so excited to interview you, Emeka.
Oh, I'm excited to be here with my favorite sister.
I'm your only sister. So,
and which is why you'll always be my favorite sister.
So to get us started and to really help the guests know who you are, can you tell us about the person, the brand Emeka Wafor?
Wow, the brand that's Emeka Wafor. So it's a simple brand. If I think of my brand, I'd like to think of it as to how I'd like for people to think about me, right, when I'm not in the room. So I think the brand is, fun guy, like not Kawhi Leonard fun guy, but like I like to have fun. I'm curious. I'm a father, right? So that's a big part of who I am, father and a husband. I like to think of myself as creative. I like to think of myself as empathetic. And I like to think of myself as fair, right? So that would be my brand. Unfortunately, it doesn't fit in like four words underneath my headshot, that's who I am.
I love it. And so, as you know, my name is Nkechinyera is God's gift.
Nice to meet you, Nkechinyera.
Yes. And it means I am God's gift. So that is one of my great I ams. The other one is right. I am energy. So what would you say is one of your great I ams?
I am your brother.
And that's enough, eh?
Yeah, that's it. I didn't mean to do that. So that's a good answer. So yes, I am your brother, but I'm also a father to Akosua Nijama. I'm a husband to Irene, and I am a good person. That's who I am.
You are, indeed. So one of the things I've been, since we are in quarantine still, a lot of people have, used this time for personal reflection, and have found out a lot about themselves in a period of isolation. What can you say you have discovered about yourself during this period?
I think I'm learning more about myself every day as we go through this period, but this has been hard, right? In that, if I look at my life before this period, one of the things that I think characterized my existence is that I'm very, very goal oriented. So a lot of the reading or planning or things I've done in life I'm really one that's a big believer in having, you know, these little goals and objectives. Some of them are big, some of them are micro goals. And to, you know, help illustrate this, right? So a little bit of a story about me to get you to know about me a little bit more. You know, for years, right, January 1st, you know, after, you know, New Year's Eve celebrations and revelry and all that, you know, the house is quiet, everyone's sleeping. And I'd get up really early and I'd sit down and I'd define my plan for the year, right? And I define it on multiple dimensions, right? I define it on, you know, career-wise, what I want to accomplish that year. I define it on, you know, financially, what are some of the targets I want to hit this year? You know, for the family perspective, what are some of the experiences I want to create this year? You know, from a community perspective, you know, what are some of the things I want to do in the community? And it varies from year to year, depending on where I'm at, what's going on around me, how old the kids are, you know, my involvement with what their activities and things. But all of that is to say is that for me, this period of quarantining, and it's not so much the quarantining, I think it's just the world we live in right now. Mm. The biggest challenge I've had is not being able to plan anything, like not being able to have, you know, something to, I mean, there's always something to look forward to, right? Looking forward to having a meal with my kids. But in terms of the big things, right, that would get me through an extended period of time or get me through a year, there's none of that right now. Right. You know, if I think back to the plan I wrote down at the beginning of the year, I was supposed to be, you know, cycling through the Dalmatian coast in Croatia in May. Right now, we'd be planning who's going to take care of our house because we're going to go to Hawaii next week. And, you know, these were all the plans that I had at the beginning of the year. And for obvious reasons, none of that's happening. So for me, that part's been hard. It's the first time, as long as I've remembered, that, you know, I haven't had these little micro goals, and it's been a bit of an adjustment, and I'll be honest with you, it hasn't been easy.
And so that's a great lead in to my next question, because I mean, you voiced it earlier, more than just being my brother, I have you on here because this podcast is all about thriving, and I look up to you always my entire life, and mm-hmm. you are one of the most creative people I know. And,
thank you.
And I truly you. Admire your brilliance. And so how has your thrive been impacted then?
My thrive. So I'm going to focus on the creativity part. Mm-hmm. So the creativity part has gone in waves. So there was a period. So a lot of my creativity comes through either, you know, coming up and thinking of new product ideas, and just in the situation I'm in right now, there's not a lot of that that's been happening in the environment I've been in. Mm-hmm. Some of it comes through my music, mm-hmm. right? And again, like many people out there, I'm not a professional musician, but you know, I was blessed with having the opportunity to learn piano when I was young, and I took up music composition when I was young, and I've kept up with it, and you know, it's my creative outlet. And I found at the beginning of all of this, right, I kind of, you know, settled into it and, you know, focused on that. And then it dried up. I'll be honest with you. For a while, it was hard, right? And then the last month has been really hard, right? The last month with everything that's going on in the world, with, you know, the unnecessary killing of George Floyd, and you know, all of the things that have happened around that. It's been a bit distracting. So, it's been hard to, how do I say it, keep my thrive, right? And it's not just me. I think this is a difficult time. We're living in unprecedented times. And, you know, there's a bunch of my friends where, you know, we'll talk and we'll say, we're going to open up, and there's the usual protocol greeting. How are you doing? It's like, oh, I'm great. I'm great. And then you sort of look each other in the eye, right? At a social distance, obviously. And you realize, no, we're not great. Like we're struggling through this. This is hard. Like this is like every day is hard. It's harder for some than others. There's uncertainty. You know, we've gone from living in a world where you plan, you say, it's like, okay, well, you know, we're going to get the kids to the university, or we're going to go on this trip, or we're going to go on university, and then we're going to work, and then we're going to, you know, retire and things like that. And you know what, like, we've got no guarantee the earth will be there a year from now, right? So I'm going to be honest with you, it's hard, right? So when you say thrive, it's hard to say that I'm thriving right now. I'm gonna be honest with you, right? I've got some personal stuff. You know, as you know, we have aging parents, and you know, they're on their own, right? And it's just, it's a tough time. It's a tough time all around, right? But to answer your point about creativity, it comes and goes in waves, right? So it was a wave at the beginning. It went away for a while. I think it's coming back a bit, right? Like I'm sort of feeling the urge to, you know, play and create and things like that. And I'm finding that there's a different kind of soul to the stuff I'm working on now than some of the stuff I worked on before. And I think it's just a reflection of the climate we live in. But it's hard, right? And, you know, I think it would be disingenuous for me to go out there and say, hey, I'm thriving right now. Like we're doing well. We're happy. You know, we're healthy, we're fed, we've got a great roof over our heads and things like that. But it's really hard to say right now that we're thriving, right? There's so much uncertainty about what the future brings.
Thanks for being so open with that. Thank you. So you touched on, you know, in terms of your plans, you were going to take the cycling trip in May. So I know that
didn't happen.
Yeah, it didn't happen. But I know that cycling is one of your habits, and there are daily habits that help to maintain just our overall, you know, mental and our wellness. You know, what are some of your daily habits?
I don't have a daily routine, but if I take a look at it, there's a number of things that I like to do to keep well. So I garden, right? We have a garden that I like to maintain and upkeep, and that gives me joy. I like to stay active, right? I'm active in a number of different ways. I don't do the same activity every day. So sometimes I run, sometimes I cycle. I like to play tennis. There's a certain joy I get out of whacking that little green ball that helps me recover from a difficult day. I like to cook. I like to read. I'm curious. I would say, actually, you know what? If I were to summarize it, I think one of my daily habits, even during some of these dark times, is I typically pick one area where I'm going to improve, right? I'm going to improve myself, right? Either physically or mentally, or in recent years, like yoga, right? Just in terms of, you know, my whole mind, body, and space. So my habit is, like, typically every day, I'll do something that will just sort of help with my overall wellness.
I like that. And I like that specific thing. It's just focusing on improving yourself every single day. And that generally could be anything for anybody. So that's a great one for the listeners. Thank you.
Well, and if I could build on that and leave something behind. And so one of the neat things about becoming older, right, is that you pick up all these cliches, right? And some of them stick. And one of the cliches that I heard that I think is really, really important is that there's no staying the same, right? If you're not trying to get better, then you're implicitly getting worse, right? So a big part of my raison d'être and just how I operate on a day-by-day basis is that I'm always looking at a different area where I'm going to improve, right? Like I'm not, you know, you talked about my legacy, right? That's going to be written hopefully many, many years from now when I've passed, right? I think every day my focus is just trying to figure out how I'm going to be better in some little way.
I love that. Thank you. So you touched on George Floyd, the tragic death of George Floyd, and all the events that have transpired since. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why, and you wouldn't know this, but I read a post one morning that you wrote that really made me emotional, because it was like, I could never, I mean, I'm a Black woman, but, you know, how Black men are feeling right now is not something that I could even imagine. And your post really, really touched me, because I never actually thought to reach out to you to see what your thoughts were and what was going on. And so, you know, in this moment, if you could talk about what that 846 really represents for you.
So before I talk about me, I just, and I don't know if they'll hear it or someone who's connected is hearing it, but I want to express my deepest sympathies for the family of George Floyd, his child, his friends, everyone in Neil, for his senseless and unnecessary death, completely and totally unnecessary, right? And the that whole, you said, how do I feel about it as a Black man? I think where it hit me was as a father. And George Floyd's death was a gut punch. It was a gut punch because this has been going on for as long as I can remember, right? And we could talk about different levels of it, right? We could talk about, you know, this conversation that's starting about, you know, structural racism or systematic racism, whatever you want to call it. And then there's this other conversation about police brutality, right? And then there's a broader conversation about just humanity. And the George Floyd thing. So before I talk about George Floyd, this, excuse my language, you'll have to edit this out, right? But this shit happens every day. It happens every day at multiple levels, right? And we all know about it. And you've got, you know, Black parents, you know, all over North America and potentially in other parts of the world who are just, you know, have the additional burden, right, of coaching their children on how to, you know, reduce the likelihood, right, that they put themselves in that situation, right? Whether it be the company they keep or they dress, the neighborhoods they go to, all of that, right? Like, it's just, the shit happens, right? But what broke my heart about this time was we're in the middle of a global pandemic, right? We're in the middle of something that anyone who's living right now has not seen before, right? That it's just, we've got no answer for it, despite all of our technological prowess, all, you know, there's no answer for it right now. And in the midst of that, with cameras on, this officer kneeled on another human being's, forget about Black, kneeled on another human being's neck, right? And even the reporting, like if you look at the early reporting of it, people were saying it was like, well, it was over 7 minutes, right? And then it was like, it was over 8 minutes. It was 8 minutes and 46 seconds, which is closer to 9 minutes. That's a very long time, right? And so to answer your question, right, what went through my head or how I felt or what it meant to me was that I realized that, first of all, we've been fortunate in life, but I haven't done anywhere near enough to make a better world for my kids so that they don't have to deal with this. And that we were all just, you know, plodding along, doing our stuff, and, you know, focused on our issues and things like that, and only got our level, right? And we kind of felt, right, that the stuff was still out there, but I guess we kind of hoped that it might have been going away, but we all knew that it hadn't gone away until, you know, we sat there on every television platform and social media platform and watched this poor man have his life taken. So 8:46, to answer your question, what it means to me, it was a reminder that we have a responsibility, and no one's going to take care of this for us, but we've got a responsibility to make a better world for our kids. So I want to talk, and I'm going to use this platform to talk a little bit more about my post. So that post I made on Facebook is completely out of character, right? I don't speak like that. And the post was actually motivated by a friend of mine, Debbie Miller. She's a constable with the Ottawa Police Service. Great photographer, by the way, fantastic photographer. And when this happened, she reached out to me and she said, hey, listen, you know, I'm kicking off this project. You know, the community's had enough. We want to get people to, you know, start expressing if you want to be a part of it. And my initial reaction was no. But then I thought about it, and I thought about where I am in life and where I am is in my age and everything else like that. And I realized, like, you know what? I have to be a part of this, right? I owe it to my kids. And I've got to use whatever knowledge, experience I have just to mobilize, you know, the next generation and the leaders and whatever to stamp this out, right? Because as I said in my post, enough is enough. So it's just been going on too long, right? So that's what 846 means to me. 846 means to me that it's time for a change.
It's time for a change. Wow. Thank you.
Sorry for the long answer, but
no, that was beautiful. And thank you for sharing your heart like that, Mecca. You really touched me.
Sorry.
So you're very insightful about your life. And so therefore this next question is really around that. What's the most important thing that you've learned in your life? And do you actually know what your life was like before learning it and what your life was like after?
I think the most important thing I've learned in life is the importance of being able to empathize. I think it's the importance of being able to put yourself in someone else's perspective and to be able to look at things through their lens and understand why they're doing what they're doing or why they're doing things the way they're doing or why they're reacting the way they're doing. Right? I think that's the most important lesson I've learned in life. What was my life like before I learned that lesson? So I learned that lesson at a very, very young age. So my memories from that period are...
You learned that at a young age?
Well, mom taught it to me. Mom taught it to me at the age of like probably 8 when she was going through her psychology.
Why would you always lick my spoon and then or laugh at me sitting across the table? That wasn't empathy.
That was exactly empathy, because I knew that you would not want to use a spoon that I'd licked, right? So putting myself in your perspective, right? Now, I happen to use that to my benefit. So I guess, yeah, that's, I guess before I learned empathy, I might not have gotten the extra cereal or whatever it was that we were competing for. But afterwards, I got more cereal. I mean, we're joking right now, but I don't even know why you brought that spoon thing up. Good luck editing this out. Yeah, that's your problem, not mine. All right.
Yeah.
Next question. Did I answer your question?
Right. You know what? That is actually totally fine, and I'll see if I need to edit it out or if I'm going to keep it. So you'll have to wait and see. So I'm going to ask you a couple of rapid questions as we wrap up the interview.
Okay. Go.
When you think of someone that inspires you, someone that maybe even, you know, you look up to that I would quote unquote say is thriving, who's really, you know, hit some success in life, who is that and why?
Next question. I'll come back to that one again. Next question. Let me think about it.
Okay. What is a book that has really helped you with, you know, your thrive or, you know, your motivation, inspiration?
One book.
Some,
wow.
Some readers have like given me 5, 6 of some, sorry. Some.
Yeah. Like, well, sorry. I'm cheating right now. So thank God we're doing this in my office, right? So I'm looking at my bookshelf here. A book that's helped me with my thrive. And I read a fair number of books. So I have a bit of recency bias. You know, one book. There's no right answer to this. There's so many books, but one that I really enjoyed, one that I've read recently that I really enjoyed, I'd recommend people read is Satya Nadella. So Satya Nadella is the CEO of Microsoft, and he wrote a book called Hit Refresh.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. And I enjoyed it actually because of the answer I gave earlier, in that he talked about how he's trying to impart empathy on the Microsoft culture as a way of building better products for people. He also talks about it from a personal perspective, but I think that, yeah. Sorry for the long answer. Hit
no,
refresh. Next,
I actually
next
have
question.
It on my list. I'm going to have to read it. So when you, on your phone, is there an app that you use often that you really,
yes.
That helps you? And what is it?
Yes. Oh, sorry. That helps me what?
With your thrive.
it's Garmin Connect. Yeah.
So can we go back to the first question before I get to the last one? What is a human on this planet that you maybe, you know, you admire, you look up to?
There's several people that I admire and I look up to. I admire Malcolm Gladwell because I like the different perspectives that he gives on, you know, our culture and our environment. I've always admired Peter Gabriel, ironically, for a lot of the, you know, the awareness work that he's done in, you know, developing countries and the third world, right? And ironically, actually, I was thinking about it the other day, many years ago, right? I remember those flip phones? Remember when we were all going to the iPhone, right? And we had to get rid of our flip phones? Mm-hmm. So Peter Gabriel ran a campaign to collect the flip phones, right? Because the flip phones had cameras on them. Remember they had cameras? Like you took a picture, everyone looked like an avatar, but they took pictures. And his whole idea was to send them to third world countries, right? So that people could have them because they were less likely to be exposed to atrocities or human rights violations if they felt they were being photographed. Mm-hmm. So you got to laugh at the irony of that, right? Where, you know, 12, 15 years ago before we have the technology, sorry, 10, 11 years ago before we got the technology we have here, Peter Gabriel was doing that. And now we're riding across the entire planet, right? Because some dumbass jackass decides to violate a guy's human rights, where there's not only like people with cell phones, but there's, you know, cameras at every street corner. It's just, it's incredible, isn't it? Right. And which is, sorry, we're going back to your 846 question.
No, that's okay.
But Peter Gabriel and folks like that, right, as, you know, people using technology to make life better is an example. Mm-hmm. Steve Jobs is another person, obviously, as a technology person I admire. Mm-hmm. There's no one person. Barack Obama, mm-hmm. right, in terms of a hopeful visionary leader is someone I tremendously admire. There's a bunch of people.
I love that. Thank you. And then last but not least, and I don't know if this will be true in your life, but are there misconceptions that you believe that people have of you as they see, you know, you and your success and who you are?
Well, so first of all, thank you for considering me to be a success. I appreciate that. I'm not a finished product, but thank you. I'll take it. Well, actually, I won't take it. I'm not done yet. Is there a misconception about me? Yeah. I think I come across as a little distant or maybe hard to approach. And I think a lot of people don't realize that or don't get to know the fact that I'm an introvert. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it is just I try to stay in my comfort zone, which is typically on my own. So
so that's okay.
Yeah, that would be the misconception. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so now if you can finish the sentence, what the world needs now is.
The world right now needs to focus on the things that we share versus the things that we feel separate us or differentiate us.
Ooh, that's a good one. The things that we share. I love that. And Emeka, I actually am going to say it publicly, and I love you. And I thank you.
And I love you too. And people who know me probably don't hear that enough. But to you and your millions of listeners, I love you deeply and dearly.
And I thank you for your time. And I thank you for sharing space on this podcast with me.
Thank me after you. Wait to thank me until you see my invoice. All right.
Whatever. That love was you, cute. That was, so this is where I say, we're out.
So there you have it. I hope you're thriving and thoroughly enjoyed this episode. And remember, whatever medium you are listening to this on, please subscribe, like, review, and share this podcast with somebody else that you think could benefit from the tips that were delivered. Because when we share, that is truly when we have the capacity and the power to change the world. It's been awesome hanging with you. It's your girl, and I'm out.